HMX, Harvard Medical School's online option for everyone. Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining me for this, the 205th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get that delightful instant when you can jump up and down shouting, yes, I'm in, and not only in, but in at the best program for you. I was recently contacted about a fascinating new program at Harvard Medical School called HMX, Fundamentals. I wanted to learn more, and I'm delighted to have Admissions Straight Talk listeners learn more along with me, since I'm talking today to Dr. Michael Parker, Harvard Medical School's Associate Dean for Online Learning and Faculty Director of HMX. Dr. Parker earned his bachelor's and master's degrees in electrical engineering and computer science from MIT. He then worked in the software industry and studied exercise physiology at the University of Colorado. He went to medical school at the University of Colorado and did his residency in internal medicine in Boston. Today, when he's not combining his technology and medical backgrounds to create innovative, groundbreaking educational programs, he is a practicing physician in the Division of Pulmonary Critical Care and Sleep Medicine at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center and an assistant professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Parker, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you very much.
I'm delighted to have you join me here today. Can you please give an overview of HMX Fundamentals and its curriculum? What will participants learn and study? Study and learn, I guess, is actually the right order.
Absolutely. Happy to do that. So HMX refers to basically foundational online courses covering medical topics that are really designed for people who are interested potentially in careers in healthcare or want to know about these topics in greater depth. And I think just maybe giving a little bit of background for why from Harvard Medical School and why now might be helpful.
Great.
So there are two thoughts there. So about 3 or 4 years ago, we were going through a curriculum reform. So part of this curriculum reform was thinking about how to get students into the clinics earlier. And as part of that, there was a compression time-wise of the preclinical years of the curriculum. So this is really usually the first 2 years of medical school curriculum is preclinical, and this was compressed down to 14 months or so.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, very, very quick, and the material has to go somewhere. And so we were thinking about, you know, how do we prepare students better to come into this rapid start? And, you know, so there's this aspect of compression. And then there's also this recognition that, you know, we get students from a real variety of backgrounds. So, you know, not everybody is a biochemistry major or a cell biology major coming in. There's a huge range out there. We have every type of major coming in, and people have different levels of preparation. So the real thought was, you know, how do we help level the playing field for people coming in? And knowing that they have to get off to a fast start, what can we do to help them out with that?
Mm-hmm.
And so part of it really was then thinking about what areas do students typically struggle with, and also what areas are really central for the future of medical practice. And so by that, I mean topics like genetics and immunology that may not exactly be prerequisites for medical school, but are going to be extraordinarily important as people move into healthcare and into practice. So that's, you know, there are many more immunologically based therapies for cancer, for example. People are beginning to get their own genetic data, and every healthcare provider will be forced to be literate in concepts like risk, absolute risk, relative risk, and so forth. So we thought about, you know, how do we tackle these types of areas that students struggle with and that are important for the future of medicine. And we came up with starting with four foundational courses, so genetics, immunology, physiology, and biochemistry. And really thinking about, you know, how do we take a fresh approach to these? So not repurposing anything we've done in the curriculum. This is not taking PDFs, it's not taking PowerPoints, it's not a view from the back of a lecture hall, but you know, how do we start really with a fresh approach for teaching these online and do it in a unique way that's really serious enough for our own students and beneficial to many groups outside?
Yeah, so go ahead. The purpose initially was basically to get your medical students all at a certain place before they started medical school, correct?
Yes.
You're entering medical school class.
That's right. And so for the last 2 years, the entering medical school class at Harvard Medical School has actually been given access to these courses.
Got it. Fascinating. Fascinating.
And thank you.
So that was the goal. Was it also planned that you would open it to the general public, or was it just, did it start out with being just for the entering class, or was there always a vision that it was going to be offered more widely?
There was always a vision that it might be offered more widely. So that was actually part of the original brainstorm process was, you know, we think that these topics are important enough. This could benefit others, you know, but if we're going to go to considerable effort and care to create the material, you know, it made real sense to benefit more people by opening it up.
Okay. So can you give us a little bit, so obviously it's all online, right? My
That's
daughter
right.
several years ago did an online master's, and I have visions of her watching videotaped lectures for hours. That's not what I saw when I took the sample that you put online. It was anything but just watching people lecturing for hours. How are people, what makes HMX Fundamentals different from watching videos of people talking heads?
Sure. So that's, I mean, I think that's one of actually the primary challenges in getting this out there is that, you know, people have a concept of what online learning is.
Yeah.
And, you know, because of the way it started out, that concept may include thinking about lecture videos that have been taped and put online. And
right.
And so I would just, I would highlight, you know, especially three differences in what we're creating. And one of those three aspects really is the degree of clinical applications that students experience during the courses. So here, you know, we take tremendous care to go into the hospitals and film with real doctors and patients in authentic settings. So these are unscripted encounters, and we go into the intensive care unit, the dialysis unit, we go into the cardiac catheterization lab and other clinical settings. And basically what we're trying to do is have students see how doctors interact with patients and especially how they use this foundational knowledge that the students are learning. So try to make it relevant to the students by showing, hey, this is not just for a test. You know, this is really something that, you know, you as a flexible, adaptable healthcare provider can really think about problems in this way using this very material that you're learning. So that would be one aspect that is, I think, very special about the courses. And a second aspect that differentiates this from going in and watching videos is that it's a very high degree of active learning. So here, what I mean by that is that students have to do something. They have to engage with the material. And so just as an example, in the immunology course, there are over 300 assessment questions scattered throughout. And students can use this as a way to, at a very fine-grained level, check in on their knowledge along the way, and then also to enhance their learning. So it's taking advantage of learning science and this idea of the testing effect that it's not just having people retrieve the information, it actually affects their learning by, you know, having them do that type of testing. So that, I think that would be the second aspect. And then this third thing that I think you might have gotten a sense of is that there are really these very rich biomedical visualizations,
yeah,
so animations and other types of graphics as part of the course. And I am a person who who really needs to tie into visual learning and visual aids in moving through and understanding material. And, you know, we've really tried to bring this into play in terms of real world examples and graphical overlays that help students understand the mechanisms of disease.
Right. Now, my science background is pretty limited, and I'm probably exaggerating by saying that. And I haven't taken I took the minimum science I could throughout school. But what I remember is that when you took a science class, you had to have labs. You had to have a microscope. You mm-hmm. had to, do you feel that the videos, the animations basically take the place of my long ago memories of labs and slides and stuff like that?
I think there's still a need for labs and slides. And I know particularly for certain prerequisites, places may require it. But certainly for the experiential aspect, and this is this idea of, really going in and riding along and seeing this clinical experience, that is almost a form of lab in a way, mm-hmm. at least on the experiential side. And that's really the attitude we've taken.
Okay. And is there any kind of, there's no residential component to this. This is all at home, right? Student or wherever the student wants to be, really.
Absolutely. So this is really from any device, wherever they want. And that was actually driven home to us. It was the first group of Harvard medical students that went through. We were pretty surprised that actually there were people logging in from 80 countries around the world.
Oh, wow.
Right. So this was over the summertime before they entered. And, part of the thought was, is this going to be difficult to access? Is this going to be a burden for people to access during this period of time when they're traveling? And we found actually it was quite easy to access. And I think it was ended up being 85 or 86 countries total that people logged in from.
Yeah. When I first started Accepted, which was a long time ago, in the mid-90s, I was always amazed at the places people were visiting the site from. It was just mind-boggling to me. But yeah, how long does HMX Fundamentals last, and how many hours does it typically require? Is it synchronous or asynchronous?
Sure. Each course is 10 weeks long, and they can definitely be taken concurrently. So we would absolutely expect people to take more than one course concurrently if they want. Up to four, although, that is a significant time commitment. So that may be for, people who have more time over the summertime, for example. And time commitment would be, someone can expect to spend, 3 to 5 hours per lesson with about 10 lessons per course. And this really depends on, how in-depth you decide to go. Do you read outside sources as well? Do you participate in the ask a question or discussion forums? So all that can influence how long people spend. But figure 3 to 5 hours per lesson, something in that range with about 10 lessons per course. And then in terms of synchronous or asynchronous, so I would term this as gated asynchronous, which basically means that, I know, a new term, which means that basically lessons are released approximately at weekly intervals. So once a lesson is released, it stays open, but we think it's important there's an order to go through the courses, and so they're released one at a time, about one per week. And if you need to catch up later, you absolutely can, because all of the material stays open once it's open.
Okay, great. Now, you mentioned the ask a question. Are there opportunities for student interaction, discussions with each other? Are there tutors or mentors available to participants in HMX?
All of the above. So basically, we've oriented it very much toward asking specific content questions and potentially having discussions. So there's a forum associated with the course, and people ask all sorts of different questions, usually content questions. And we have advanced Harvard Medical School students who are staffing the discussion forums and have really given wonderful answers to students. So we see some very rich discussions going on. And, you know, these students have experience in these particular topics. And so we find there's great back and forth.
What if a student is struggling with a particular topic? Let's say they've done the assessments and they're not getting the results they want. What do they do?
Mm-hmm. So typically that's exactly what the ask a question forums are for.
Okay.
And so we encounter exactly that. So there are certain more common questions that students have after they've been through the material. Sometimes that push the boundaries of the material a little bit. And so they come on there and they ask a question and can get a very detailed answer that helps them through. And then there can be back and forth. So if that didn't quite answer it, they can just come on there and reply and say, you know, I still don't quite get it. And so there's an interactive way to get help.
Okay. Now, there is an application for HMX Fundamentals, but there is no MCAT or GRE, no interview. And I understand the application is fairly straightforward. What are you looking for in the application? Whom do you want to admit and whom will you decline?
Sure. So, and I think really part of the goal here is to put this experience within reach of or give access to many people rather than to restrict access. And with that said, however, we do want to know that the people coming in have the right motivations for taking the courses that they have some basic prerequisites. So basic biology, basic chemistry, basic physics that would help make sure that they have the best experience possible. And so we want to have them succeed in the courses. And so in the application, what we're hoping to do is really understand something about what people hope to achieve, where they are in their career trajectories, where they hope to go, and I guess more in general, their motivations. So part of it is that, one of the goals is to admit a very diverse group. I mean, I admit that, basically maybe when I went through medical school, people looked a little more uniform coming in. There was a very straight path into school. And, there's been an explosion of paths. You know, there are people who have been out working for a while. There's all sorts of different backgrounds.
No, but you didn't take the straight path.
No, I didn't take the straight path. But I mean, maybe more people did at that time. And I think there's been a trend to value and really see the strength of greater diversity in a group coming into and having access to material like this. And so part of the goal really is not to be restricting access. And so we're really looking at motivations as people come in and where do they hope to go.
Okay. I assume you would not want somebody like me who had never taken chemistry or physics or anything like that, right?
So, if you had the right motivation,
I did enjoy the free sample, and I would recommend any listener really to check out the sample. It was quite interesting, and I enjoyed it.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, that coming from me, that's again with my love of science is quite a compliment. I saw that tuition ranges from $800 for one course to $1,800 for four courses. Can you take, and you mentioned that you could take all four simultaneously. Can you sign up for four and let's say take two and then two or two and one? How would that work? Is that possible?
So right now, it's true that if you sign up for four right now, we would expect you to take them concurrently.
Okay.
That said, we do understand that the configuration that you're talking about is something that people may want. And so in the future, there very well may be an option to spread that out at the same cost.
Okay. Now, I know the next application deadline is May 30th. That's the regular deadline. The May 23rd is the deadline for scholarships. Apparently, there are some scholarships available. Is this a merit or need-based scholarship?
So we would consider it based on need.
Okay.
And, and I think what I would emphasize is that, you know, we don't have one rigid set of criteria for that. It's really, again, you know, we want to hear people's backstories and try to understand the need. And then we do a very detailed review on a case-by-case basis to determine what would make this affordable for someone. So, you know, there are obviously many people who may not be able to afford this, but who would benefit from this. And, you know, part of the goal is to make it accessible to those people.
Okay. Now, you mentioned at the beginning of the call that HMX actually started out as a program to serve the needs of Harvard Medical School students, incoming students. How does it reflect the approach of Harvard Medical School to medical education for physicians in training?
It's interesting. So I mentioned there's a curriculum reform that the first class to enter into the curriculum reform at HMS was in August of 2015. Mm-hmm. And the goals of the new pathways curriculum include fostering active learning and critical thinking, as well as providing earlier clinical experience to students. So, you know, in thinking about those, what we're doing is extraordinarily consonant with those goals. So I've already talked about active learning and really trying to engage the students. Critical thinking is part and parcel of what we're doing. So we have one of our professors, so the professor for the physiology, the HMX physiology course,
mm-hmm.
you know, he says basically, you know, we try to teach you what you can't Google. And he really means, you know, that critical thinking is the skill that is in higher demand.
Yeah.
You know, as there's greater automation in medicine and so forth, really like knowing how to think about problems is important. And that's important in the new curriculum. That's extraordinarily important in the online courses that we're creating. And then earlier clinical experience, so trying to make the material more relevant for students, is exactly what we're trying to do. So, you know, by taking people inside the hospital and showing them that this material is indeed used in thinking about diagnosis and treatment is, again, also very reinforcing with the curriculum.
So I realize that you've compressed the initial curriculum, you said to 14 months. In that first 14 months, do Harvard medical students have clinical exposure, or is it just after the 14 months?
So they do get some clinical exposure. So there's a course called Practice of Medicine that students start essentially immediately in medical school. And there they learn about things like doctor-patient communication and physical mm-hmm. exam skills and so forth. And so there is that earlier sense of putting that in the curriculum. And then, you know, also via video, we're trying to incorporate clinical examples. So this is part of the concept of what's called flipping the classroom, where, you know, students, so they may use material from HMX, for example, as they move into their immunology section or course, and they get to see some of the same clinical examples, and it helps make the in-class time even richer.
As you're talking, what was going through my mind is I once was talking to somebody and they said that I saw an expression that you have experiences when you don't have judgment. And when you have experience, as you acquire judgment, you're having experiences. And when you have judgment, you no longer need to have experiences or something like that. It seems to me like by introducing the clinical and focusing on the clinical application, you're basically encouraging your students to have that judgment, because again, you can't Google that, as you were saying. Judgment is something you can't Google.
Yeah, I mean, that's I think you're exactly spot on. And I think, you know, as we introduce the clinical applications, you know, we try to assess in the same way. So I think you have to be very you have to be well aligned with the way you're teaching. You know, your assessment has to be well aligned with the way you're teaching. So it's not just regurgitation of facts. We try to essentially foster that judgment aspect mm-hmm. by saying, you know, here's a clinical case. You've learned some basic science material. Now let's apply this. Let's see how you apply this. And so we can assess students on that and try to get some of that transfer of material to a more applied setting.
Right. It seems that the program is aimed primarily, I'm talking now about HMX, not the program that you initially set up for the incoming medical students. It's aimed either at current college students or maybe even high school students who want to get a basic intro to medicine, or perhaps recent graduates or working professionals who want to test the healthcare waters before contemplating a career change. Is that a fair assessment in your view?
I mean, I think it's a fair assessment of the range of learners, but I guess I would just stress, I heard you say, you know, basic intro. I would just stress that this is more than a basic intro, because there's definitely in-depth, rigorous material and that range that we've talked about of clinical applications and active learning means that students definitely have to be committed to do well in these courses.
Right. And they have to have the science fundamentals. I mean, kidding, you know, no longer joking about my background. You mentioned chemistry, physics, biology. I believe there was something else that you felt, you know, students should have before taking HMX in order to really get something out of it, right?
Yes, absolutely. Really those three that you mentioned.
Those three. Okay. What feedback have you received from medical schools regarding HMX fundamentals? Or is it, I mean, if somebody were to take that course, would that impress admissions offices at medical schools? It's not a post-bac program, obviously. Or is it really an educational program that's more about exploring the subject matter for its own sake, as opposed to providing a credential that prepares the students for the next professional move or program?
Yeah, I mean, I would flip that just slightly from what you said last there. So, I mean, I would actually describe it as a serious credential, so something that does really demonstrate commitment, and in the process of learning that, it also helps students explore quite a bit about the practice of medicine. So you definitely get that feel that you're mentioning as an exploration, but you're really in the midst of learning quite a bit of material at that time.
I didn't mean to imply that it wasn't a serious learning experience at all.
I didn't take it that way.
That wasn't my intention. And if it came across as such, I'm really glad you corrected me. But I meant, you know, so many times students take a course because it's going to prepare them to do X. And that means that an employer, a school, is recognizing the credential as valid preparation for X. So, I mean, are schools recognizing this as really good preparation for medical school or for a career in healthcare? Are employers recognizing it? Do you hear my question?
Yes. So one thing we can certainly point to is that we've run these courses with outside medical schools.
Okay.
So we've, for example, with an international school, one in Thailand. Called KKU, and then a medical school in Florida for incoming students, and been really able to point to significant learning gains for those students and to the fact that they're doing better in their courses at the school.
Wonderful.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's actually, there's been great feedback in that regard. And so we hope by showing data like this that they're serious, they do translate into really good outcomes for students, that in the future, once we get down the road, that schools will indeed take it seriously as a credential and potentially also be offering credit for it. But I think we have to get it out there to the broader audience first and really show that, you know, there are still robust learning gains.
Well, I think what you're pointing to is actually really, really important, because one of the most common, I don't know if it's a criticism or feedback that you hear from first-year medical school, medical students, is that it's like, you know, drinking water from a fire hose, just the volume of information that's thrown at them in that first year. Now, Harvard has compressed it even more down to 14 months, but even before it was compressed, students were overwhelmed with what they had to learn and the sheer volume of work. So probably if they could learn some of the fundamentals ahead of time, it would make that first year just a little bit easier.
We absolutely hope so. That's our that's our great hope out of this. And, you know, recognizing that students' time is incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
You know, we want to make it enjoyable at the same time so that you don't feel like you're slogging through something that, you know, that is, you're eating something that's good for you. You don't want something that basically is rigorous and will help you, but that feels like you want to actually do this.
Well, again, the sample that I saw was enjoyable to watch. So I would assume that people who are even more interested in the topic matter will find it more enjoyable. And I reviewed a couple of student testimonials. One is from a high school student interested in healthcare and the science behind it. And one was even using HMX as a supplement to his medical school classes. What is the most memorable feedback you've received from those who have completed HMX so far?
Well, there's a student I was talking to, an HMX student I was talking to just, I think, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So this is a person who is in one of our pilot courses. He's actually a high school science teacher and interested in going into medicine.
Huh.
Fascinating. And he found that for him in particular, the real world cases. So these are interesting actor-based scenarios.
Yes.
that also involve graphics oftentimes. So he found those, the way they're presented essentially as a mystery to draw the students in and to frame the lessons. He found that very powerful for his own learning. And he actually, one thing I loved is that he said he was going to try and use this approach in teaching his own students. So he said it changed his thoughts on how he approaches his science teaching, and that he was actually trying to incorporate some of the same approach when he went back to his own students. And I just found that amazing. There were two layers to this. You know, it's his own career goals, but also thinking about teaching at the same time.
Yeah. It would also probably be, I mean, this is maybe a little bit more far-fetched, but it could be helpful in patient education.
Yeah, absolutely.
And presumably compliance ultimately. How much has your own journey to medicine, the fact that you clearly went initially in a different direction and only started medical school after working for a few years, has that influenced the development of HMX? I understand that you were the force behind HMX. I'm not asking so much about your obvious knowledge of technology. I'm asking if you sometimes were thinking you would have loved a program like HMX Fundamentals when you were contemplating changing careers and pursuing a career in medicine.
That's a really wonderful question, and I think it's the first time I've been asked that. And I would say definitely. I mean, so for me, and you mentioned this, you know, I came in as an engineer.
Right.
to medical school, and I have to say that, you know, even with the prerequisites for medical school, because obviously you have to have the prerequisites, it still felt like quite a leap that first year. So I was sitting next to people who had majored in biochemistry or majored in cell biology, and honestly, I was trying to catch up from textbooks to try and get to that same level. And I mentioned before, I'm someone who, you know, I learn from visuals as well as text and reading and so forth, and I just had this tremendous desire to be able to play around with something, to essentially explore a concept in a different way than I could get from a textbook, so to be able to experience it and get some kind of a feel, and so really wish I had had that, and yeah, genuinely that was part of the motivation. It's like, how would I, you know, as I went into teaching, how do I really want to teach this material? And then as we thought about bringing this to other people, what would crack the nut of really helping a student get it?
Yeah.
And that's just, it's just a tremendously rewarding experience to know that someone understands and can use the material to apply in a practical situation with a patient, for example. And so I think it's a great question, and it was part of my motivation.
That's wonderful. So it's kind of full circle. I realize that HMX is obviously a brand new in terms of its opening it up to the public at large. It's a brand new program, though obviously you were using it at Harvard Medical for a while, but what do you see coming down the pike for HMX and online medical education?
First priority, obviously, is to get these courses out there to people. So it hasn't been accessible by the public yet. And so, you know, the short-term goal really is to get it out there and to serve students well and support them as they use the material, and then see areas that we can really try to improve the courses. And then second, I would say, you know, we really want to create new courses. So one of the courses coming up in the short term is pharmacology.
Mm.
So, you know, how do medicines act on the body? How does the body act on medicines? And, you know, it's a very rich topic. We can build on the types of clinical applications that we're now very experienced in creating. And then also bring interactivity to another level. So you can imagine with something like pharmacology that the ability to experiment, to essentially virtually give a drug without risk, and experiment on your computer to see what those effects are, how does this affect the physiology of the patient, you know, those could be very powerful. And so greater interactivity is that to let students explore concepts is definitely a goal. I think that will be very, very important in the future.
I know pharmacology also is a big part of the nursing exam. So it's not just physician training, it's really healthcare training. Much
absolutely.
More. Yeah. Right. Is there anything you would have liked me to ask you?
I think, you know, the other thing that might be of interest really is, you know, we have a highly unique team creating this material.
Right.
So this, we've skirted around it in talking about, you know, what the material looks like, but
so who's
to be able
team?
To do this, so I'm glad you asked.
I'm quick.
So we have, on the team, we have, you know, essentially a core team within the group of illustrators and animators who are very specific in terms of their medical and scientific knowledge, who work very closely with an in-house set of content experts, so people with expertise in genetics and immunology and biochemistry, basically alongside the clinical faculty to try and create material that is both accurate and engaging for students. So it's, I think having that tight integration, you know, it's not farmed out to the outside. It almost feels like we're like a little startup, you know, within the school that is highly committed to creating the best material for students. So I think that's a unique composition. And at the same time, we have a wonderful operations team that really half the battle is thinking about, you know, how do we help students as they use the material and get onto the platform. And so this type of tight-knit group, I think, is one of the real aspects, one of the stories in creating material like this.
Thank you. That's great. Dr. Parker, thank you so much for joining me today. Where can listeners and potential HMX students learn more about HMX?
People can learn more about HMX by visiting this URL, onlinelearning.hms.harvard.edu. And right on the front page, they can sign up for a free trial that offers complete lessons from the course and from the course, the different courses, and actually gives a chance to be introduced to the faculty for the courses.
Thank you. We'll include a link to onlinelearning.hms.harvard.edu in the show notes at exhibit.com/205. And I would really encourage any listener to just check out at least the free sample. I think you'll be very pleasantly surprised at how enjoyable and entertaining online learning can be when it's done well. Dr. Parker, we'll include links to, the HMX site, and also to some related articles and show notes. Listener, thank you too for joining Dr. Michael Parker and me for our 205th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, please tell your friends about the useful, informative podcast that you're listening to. I thank you, and I think your friends will thank you also. Thanks again for coming. This is Admissions Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.